You're listening to the Choose to Be podcast with hosts Alana Gordon and Amy Woolsey. As you join us each week, we will provide you with tools, resources, and knowledge to help you navigate your healing journey. Choose recovery, choose healing, choose you.
Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thank you for joining our conversation today. This episode should be tailing off of our 4-episode series around separation. And this is going to be around a quote, Alana, that you just shared with me by Dr. Jake Porter that says, grief is a luxury for the mind that feels safe. And we're going to talk about what that means because I think there's some real truth to getting your system and your body, your spirit in a place of safety where you can feel grief and all of the different stages of grief. And I just want to remind everybody, when we talk about grief today, remember, grief is not linear. We do not go through the stages, check them off the list, and move on. I find, Alana, a lot of times my clients are in groups. The question comes up a lot of, when can I stop grieving? When will this stop? Because it just feels like they're stuck in this. And it's what came to my mind when I'm thinking about this quote. I know there's so many nuances to this, but the first thing that comes to my mind is when I felt like, when is this ever going to end? Because I can relate to that. When am I going to stop feeling grief? It's because my system, my body, even physiologically or physically, was not safe. And I couldn't grieve.
Yeah. And I just want to start with, grief sucks. It hurts. It's not fun. The stages of grief, and just really quick, I'm going off memory. We have the shock. We have denial. We have bargaining. We have anger. We have sadness. We have acceptance, and we have making meaning. Like, yeah, acceptance might feel better, but there's parts of acceptance that suck because we are accepting what is, not the reality we want necessarily. And then the rest of those, there's a lot of pain in there. So where the quote says, grief is a luxury for a mind that feels safe, almost can feel like an oxymoron of like, I don't want to feel grief. Like, get me through the grief, get me out of the grief. And I think it's really important to look at the three main stages of betrayal trauma healing. Stage one really is about safety and stability and getting our body regulated, getting our emotions regulated, and also getting our environment safer so that we can have this regulation happen. Stage two is really the grief and mourning stage. And then stage three is more of the post-traumatic growth, family of origin healing, and moving forward. Now, none of these stages happen completely on their own. There's always a blending and an overlap of them. But to be able to fully move into that stage to grief, we have to have the safety and the stability first to do so. Hence, grief is a luxury for a mind that feels safe.
I think that because this episode is coming off of the episodes of separation, I want to reiterate why. And I, again, know there's so many different opinions about separation in a marriage, but this is why I do support and feel like in certain situations, separation really is key for this piece right here. Because I don't know how, if there, especially, sorry, my brain is going all different directions. Because I work so much with women who are experiencing abuse, if not significant abuse, I just feel like I have to say, when you are in that environment for years, if not decades, I don't know how you wouldn't understand what safety really is in your system unless you get separation. And maybe there are other ways. I personally just don't know how. It would be really hard. It would be a hell of a lot harder. I'll just put it that way.
Yes. If there is active abuse happening, getting regulated in the middle of that, again, we need safety and stability. Getting regulated in the middle of that is almost impossible unless we can get really, really boundaried and really be able to pull ourselves back from that. But to be able to do that when there is active abuse happening, that period, and here we are, like we're going down the separation road again, but getting this safety is so incredibly essential. And a lot of women, especially when you come from your own history of trauma or abuse in your childhood or dysregulation through your childhood, I have clients that have never experienced or know what it feels like to feel safe in their own body or in their environment or in relationships. And that space can help you be able to start even learning what it feels like so that when you do engage relationally, then you can see the difference and feel the difference and know what feels safe and what doesn't.
Yeah. And that can happen even if it's not maybe a therapeutic separation. I've shared the story before, but when I was in my first marriage and he had gone for a 2-week trip and I found myself just running the vacuum, emptying the dishwasher, playing music and being loud, that wasn't allowed. And there was a lot of stress and walking on eggshells. And I remember just crying and letting my vacuum, I mean, I'm surprised the motor didn't blow out, letting my vacuum just run all day because I could. And I have it written in my journal, like the recognizing the distinct difference in my body and how I felt when he was there and when he wasn't. And that wasn't a separation. So I think just even if you're not in a space where a therapeutic separation is where you're at, even just noticing when he's at work, if you're noticing a difference in your system, I think that's just a great place to start becoming aware. And it doesn't mean that you're happy. Being safe in your environment and in your body doesn't mean you're going to have happy, positive emotions.
Okay, can you really describe then, and I agree 100%, can you describe then what safety actually feels like?
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to go back to that example I gave. I felt safe to be me, to exist, to think, to feel, not rainbows, butterflies, happy, but I could feel whatever emotion existed in me and I could just be.
I love that. To just be. And for me, there was almost like an exhale, like I can breathe, I can rest, I can sleep better. My body isn't so charged up. That charged up feeling, for me, I get busy and I can be do, and it's running off of this energy. But never does my body actually just slow down and go.
Right.
Because I were just so.
Yes, which is the fourth stage of the stress cycle, like that recoup where you're restoring that energy that the body needs for the next stressor, where it goes into that activation and it needs the energy to fuel. A lot of our listeners, and I mean, I know I lived in this for so long, in that activation stage where you're constantly looking and ready for the next. And that's, I mean, I made a noise. Did he hear that? Am I going to get yelled at? Or are the kids yelling? Like, whatever that is, you're just living in that activation. And when you get safety, your system moves through those stages of the stress cycle where you can deactivate. And in that deactivation stage is where you can process emotions. That's where you release the tension in your body and in your muscles. And then you can recoup and restore the energy, like you're saying, with the breathing and the rest. That's all restorative work.
And sometimes that breathing then made way for all of the pain that I had been experiencing and living in, but almost like this bigger breath of pain that, like, I thought I was in pain before. And then when I had enough relational safety that I could feel that full experience of my pain, hell, I thought I was hit by a freight train. Like, I had already been hit by a truck. I was hit by this freight train, and I remember it scared me.
Yeah.
To my therapist, and I was like, what is happening? He's showing up better now than he ever has before. Or it could be he's out now and I should be feeling all of these extra things. And I'm having this freight train of emotions, like, am I broken? Is something wrong with me? And she explained at the time, no, this is because you are safe enough to feel the full extent of your injuries. Yes. And if you're hearing this and you're like, I can barely handle the pain that I'm in now, you're telling me there's a freight train coming from me? No, thank you. I'm going to stay right where I'm at. I can tell you there's this full freight train of emotions. And I almost want to, like, cry saying this, but there is this safety in your body to feel that. And so at the same time, there's this relief that comes in the middle of this freight train. And so it's so weird that it's like this good thing and you can handle more. And at the same time, you feel more and it hurts more. And it doesn't actually make sense. Like, as I'm saying it, my mind doesn't make sense, but then it totally makes sense.
Exactly. And I just believe that God designed our bodies to know what to do with the energy, the intense energy of those negative emotions, when we allow the body to process it. And that's really what we're talking about here with grief and why he used that word luxury. I think that we need our physical bodies because our bodies were designed to process in that deactivation phase. But when you're just in constant activate stressor responses, your body is in the survival and it's not doing the work to process. That's where chronic pain comes and chronic issues start to develop. So it is a paradox. It does feel almost like we're going to have the resistance. Your brain is going to give you the resistance to lean into this. And I want to validate that for sure. It feels like you're going to step off of a cliff and free fall it. This idea that I'm not going to be caught, but my body caught me. And that's what I've learned over and over and over as I keep practicing to lean into my body, is that it catches me every single time. Because again, I believe in a God that designed it that way. So that's why we say all the time, trust the body, trust the body.
I remember when I was doing my training for brain spotting, one of the big ideas behind brain spotting is that our bodies are made to self-heal. And when we can learn how to work with our bodies, to listen to our bodies and to follow our bodies, which is what brain spotting is you're literally following the gaze and finding those spots that access that inner body. When we learn to harness and honor and listen to our body, it is made to self-heal. And I think part of this, what's coming to mind for me, is you described it as something that you practice and it's a journey and you're learning and you're growing. And I heard this great analogy the other day. They said recovery work is like spirituality. People who are spiritual, it's this constant learning and it's this growth and it's this journey of spirituality. It's not like you get your spirituality and then it's like, check, I'm done. Now I'm a spiritual person and I'm good. No, it's forever journey of becoming spiritual. And I see doing your own work, whether it's your healing work or for your partner, their recovery work, it's this journey of learning how to do it. And there's no arrival. We're just on this journey.
Wow. Yeah. So however you're relating to this, I want to bring it back to grief is a luxury for a mind that feels safe. If you find yourself where maybe you're not feeling, maybe you find yourself, you're stuck in bargaining or you're stuck in anger, I'm curious, Alana, what you would our client at that point where they just are stuck in the grief cycle? Do you feel like this relates to what we're talking about? Like,
oh, for sure. For sure. I wrote an article one time for Worth, and it went through all of the stages of grief. Actually, I think I put an episode on the podcast a while ago from when I did a webinar on that. But the stages of grief, each one of them serves a purpose, each stage. And again, it's not linear. We're all over and it can change minute to minute. And I put in the article with each one, how to not get stuck here. Because we can get stuck in anger. We can get stuck in sadness. And in each one, the simple answer is acceptance and learning to feel the feelings and allowing those feelings to be and working through them. I had a client one time, and she had spent 10 years, and it was not related to betrayal trauma, but 10 years stuck in the sadness of grief cycle. And she came to me for therapy because 10 years in, she is not moving forward and she's just so tired of being miserable. And as we began to talk about it, we began to process, what we learned was there were so many pieces of herself that she was denying, so many pieces of the situation she just wouldn't look at. And so even though she felt so incredibly sad and she spent hours and hours every single day thinking about the sadness, there was also so many pieces that she was avoiding. And so as we started to look at those pieces, which was really scary and it was really slow, as we started to look at those pieces, we started to get curious about them. We started to accept them, which again, didn't mean that she liked them. We just accepted what is. As we began doing that, she began to get angry. And then she is like, this is problematic. And I said, no, this is good. Yeah. Your anger right now is good because the anger actually motivates movement. And the anger is starting to move you through the sadness. And there's fear around anger. So even some of that fear of touching anger kept her stuck in the sadness. And so as we then learn to start looking at the anger and what is it trying to teach us and let that anger move through you. And I think about the word emotion, emotion, take off the E, we have motion. Emotions are meant to move. But for them to move, we have to look at them, accept them, and let them move through us. And so that probably was a really wordy answer, but there is such power in our emotions and making space for them, accepting them. And please recognize that no matter who you are, you will have resistance to this process because our brain is wired to do that.
I actually love that answer. And I was hoping that you would go there because we've been talking so much about separation. We're just coming up for episodes about it. I also want to just capitalize on what you just said there, because not everyone is going to physically separate, and you don't need to, and you can still not feel safe to grieve. And you just totally tapped into that. And so I want to slow that down a little bit, because when you're stuck in whatever stage of grief, there's still a sense of not feeling safe to move through that stage. Like you just said, this client was stuck in sad because it was scary, right? You use words like scary and fear. I remember just feeling scared to feel sad because I thought if I feel sad and depression in that stage, I'm never going to get out of bed. You might have buried me in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, even in that regard, tapping into that sense of safety. And this is why working with someone is so beneficial, because like you did with her, okay, if you did feel sad, what does that mean? What is your brain making that? Where's all the fear and the scary and the uncertainty coming from that's keeping you from accepting each stage? I don't know if that made sense, but I really feel like I don't want to just make this about like you have to leave and get space in order
in ACT therapy, acceptance and commitment therapy, a lot of what they're doing is you're learning to accept the feelings that come up. And the way that we're hardwired tends to be like, I want to get rid of it. Like in our backpack, I'm carrying this anger or I'm carrying this sadness. And it's like, I want to throw this out. And what ACT therapy does is like, no, we're actually just going to expand the backpack. Yeah. So we're going to throw these what feel like rocks out of our backpack. We're actually just going to expand the capacity and we're going to expand your ability to carry it and to be able to work through it. And so I think this is a really, really important piece. And with this particular client, they were in a relationship and they lived in a house all by themselves. This was not a relational thing that was making them feel very unsafe, but they also were raised to not look at feelings and not accept feelings and just power through and you'll be fine and toughen up, all of these messages. And so going back to what does safety look like, that was one way, one very, very important way is they had to learn how to find that safety within themselves, within their bodies, and with their own emotions.
Yeah. I just feel like this is human work. This isn't betrayed partner work. This is just human work. And we're coming into a generation and a time where we have so many resources. So many people are talking about this. There's tools to use to help. And it's beautiful. And it makes me so excited. I just think that everybody, I throw this out all the time, even though I have no basis on this percentage, but I'm like 90% of the population aren't doing what you listeners are doing and utilizing tools and practicing and getting more information and understanding knowledge around this. I just want to commend you listeners for practicing and trying to be more informed than generations prior who didn't have this information. So anyways, I think this is also a human thing.
Yes. And as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about my teenagers. I want them to have these skills. I want them to learn what it feels like in a safe relationship. And I want them to know what safety feels like in their body. So when they meet somebody who is not safe, that they can go, oh, actually, I need a little bit of boundaries here. I want them to know and understand their own emotions, like these type of skills. I want my kids to have, but I can't take my kids or teach my kids places or things that I haven't been.
Right.
Or experienced. So I will forever be grateful for the work I have done. And I'll say we'll continue to do the rest of my life because I want that so much for me, 100%. Like humans are egocentric. I want that for me. And oh my word, do I want that for my children?
Yeah. We both say all the time, our healing isn't just for us. It really is for generations prior and generations moving forward. And I love that thought. For me, that gives me even more motivation to keep going and to keep practicing because I know that, I mean, I have my new little grandbaby and I look at her and I think I'm going to be healthy for her too. I want to teach her too what healthy independence looks like as she looks at her grandma. So this is really, really beautiful work. So I don't know if you heard that quote with the luxury of grief and you're like, what the hell? I do not look at luxury and grief together. It is a luxury in that I have a body, a human body that was designed to feel all of this. And I think that the longer I practice this, the more grateful I am for my body to be able to process it. Because I lived in a body that kept it stuck. I lived in a body that didn't feel safe to grieve. It didn't feel safe to feel anger. Like you said with your client, there was a lot of fear attached to that. I'm so much more grateful that I know what to do with anger to accept it and that my body knows what to do to process it.
I love how this episode actually turned out. We started and we're like, we're not really sure where we're going with this today. We'll see. But to me, it's such a hopeful message. Such a hopeful message that you can heal and you can keep moving forward and you can continue to grow. And this safety, this emotional safety across all realms has a tremendous impact. So if you're not feeling safe relationally, if you're not feeling safe in your environment, if you're not feeling safe in your own body, and lots are coming up as you're listening to this, please, please, please keep getting curious. Get with somebody you do feel safe with. When you're working with a professional, 80% of your progress is your connection with that therapist. And I think it's because you feel safe. 80% is that feeling of safety with who you're working with. So if you're not feeling safe with who you're working with, it is okay. I had a client tell me this the other day. They said, or not a client, someone in my group. They said, yeah, I have a therapist and I keep working with them. I don't think they really like me, but it's too helpful of what they're teaching me. So I keep going, but I don't know. And I'm like, oh, then. Like that, I'm so glad it's helpful, but a year of being with someone that you don't think likes you and you don't feel connected with them, I'm thinking, oh man, how much more could you have done? Anyway, I'm trying to wrap up, but healing and finding those safe people and those safe environments, there's just such benefit to that, to doing this work. So keep going wherever you are on the journey, just keep going. We're cheering you on. And as always, thank you for being with Amy and I. Thanks for hanging out with us. And we look forward to seeing you next week.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening today. We would love for you to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Darn, Spotify doesn't let you. But if you go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review, this really helps get our message out there and available to more who are searching for help and healing and where to go and get that help. So for those of you who have already left a review, thank you so much. It means a lot to us. Keep sharing the message of hope and healing as you continue to choose recovery, choose healing, and choose you. Take care, everybody.